The night may be long and the dark may be deep, but the answers are there to be found. Whether it's the normal, the abnormal, or the paranormal, you're in the right place. Let's go beyond reality.
And welcome, everybody. It's Beyond Reality Radio. I'm JV Johnson. Thanks for joining me tonight. We have a great show lined up for you. I'd like to thank everyone who is listening to this program as a download. We don't often talk about that, but it is a great way to listen to the show, especially if you can't keep the night hours that we keep when we do this show live. But I'd also like to invite you to come and check us out live so you can join the conversation by phoning in or joining the chat room, just being a participant in that. And if you can't do that, it's understandable because it is an unusual hour for a lot of people. Then just join us on Facebook and leave your comments there about our programs. Stop at facebook.com/beyondrealityradio. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. We're going to be talking about some very interesting things that would be found in the haunted universe. And when we say haunted universe, we're talking about a universe full of strange, very odd things, not just hauntings in the sense of ghosts, but all sorts of things. Mac Maloney will be our guest tonight. He's a UFO author, and his new book is called Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe, and it's a collection of strange stories from around the world. Mac has also written about UFO sightings and experimentation, also UFOs in wartime and beyond Area 51. Plus, he's got a whole bunch of fiction to his credit as well. Very accomplished writer. So Mac will be our guest tonight. Looking forward to that. Also looking forward to having Jason back with us. Hopefully that'll happen by Monday. Tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about the Men in Black on the program. You might want to write this down because I don't think we've had an opportunity to have a conversation about the Men in Black specifically with somebody who knows what they're talking about because they were one of the Men in Black. Jason Brown will be our guest tomorrow night. He's going to talk about his experiences being in the Men in Black, the training that's involved, and also the time travel that was involved. That's tomorrow night's program right here on Beyond Reality Radio. And then Thursday, another outstanding show for you all. Well, I just said that. I didn't really mean the pun, but Todd Standing will be our guest tomorrow night. He's a Sasquatch researcher. And if you've seen the documentary that was on Netflix, I'm not sure it's still there. It might be. I haven't checked recently, but I did watch it a while ago. It's about Bigfoot, and it's about his efforts to document Bigfoot activity. He's taken some very, very influential and what I would consider to be educated people into the woods to hunt for Bigfoot, and he's shown them evidence. Plus, he's caught some things that are very, very telling on camera. So Todd Standing will be our guest on Thursday night's program, and our discussion will be all about his research into the Bigfoot phenomenon. And we'll ask him about the controversial footage that's in his documentary to see what he has to say about it. It's pretty amazing stuff. If you've had a chance to see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, maybe you should check it out if you've got Netflix or I don't know. I'm sure you can find it other places as well. So again, Todd Standing on Thursday night. So as you can see, we've got a great week of programs lined up for you. Stop by the Beyond Reality Radio website. And if you're looking for a gift for the hard-to-buy-for coworker, student, or teacher, or kids, or spouse, or whatever, the Beyond Reality Radio coffee mug has turned into a very good option. They're flying out of here. And they make a great gift for anybody on your shopping list. And it's right on the webpage. You just have to go to beyondrealityradio.com, look for the mug, click on it. It's very easy. And domestic shipping is included in the price. And if you're ordering from overseas, which we have had some overseas orders, you're just going to have to email us and we'll calculate shipping for you. So it's as simple as that. Anyway, we've got a great show lined up. As I said, Mac Maloney will be joining us in just a few moments. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll begin the discussion with UFO author Mac Maloney about his book called Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe. It's Beyond Reality Radio. I'm JV Johnson.
Did you know that online retailers like Amazon have constant deals that can save you money on the things you buy every day? It's no joke. Save 40%. 50%, even 80% on great products. And all you have to do is know about them. Noodle Shark is the way to be alerted when something good is coming your way. Noodle Shark is the social media page that lists great deals that not only save you money, but give you the deals before anyone else has them. All you have to do is find Noodle Shark on Facebook. Search it as The Noodle Shark. That's The Noodle Shark, because you deserve to save too. Become a shark and save. Please support the program. Go to patreon.com/Johaw. That's J-O-H-A-W.
Welcome back to the program. It's Beyond Reality Radio. I'm JV Johnson. Thanks for being here. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. We're going to be talking with UFO author Mac Maloney. We're going to be talking about his new book. It's called Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe. It's a collection of very strange stories from around the world. Mac, welcome to Beyond Reality Radio. It's terrific to have you on with me tonight.
Thanks, JV. Glad to be here.
So let's kind of take this back to the beginning. When did you become interested in, first of all, UFOs in general, but, you know, the stranger side of things, if you will?
Wow. Well, you know, I growing up as a kid, I read every UFO book I could get my hands on. And also, my father was a World War II veteran, so he had a lot of military books around the house. So I used to read them, too. And somehow there was just this, always this connection in my mind between, you know, UFOs, the military, and what the military might know about UFOs and so on. And then just, you know, I was able to write about it, and you know, I've been lucky enough to write three books about, you know, UFOs, paranormal, and so on. But I started really as a kid, I should say, to answer your question.
Yeah, and when you started as a kid, did you start because you heard stories? Did you have an experience of your own? Did you happen to see something up in the sky one night? You know, we've all got one of those stories, but what was it that really triggered it for you?
I wish I had one of those stories, but I don't. I've never seen a UFO or anything like that. I keep looking, but, you know, I haven't seen one, not yet. But it was just, the era that I grew up in. You know, there were lots of flying saucer movies and flying saucer books, TV shows and stuff, and it's really exciting, like, as a, you know, for a kid to kind of, you know, look into those kinds of strange things. So, you know, I was hooked, you know, early, and I've just kind of, you know, kept it up all this time.
We all, you know, are fascinated, at least most of us are fascinated when we look up at the stars. And, you know, it's one thing to go from being curious to actually writing books that not only break some of this down for us, but go into some real depth and research some of these events, whether it's, you know, things like the Roswell crash or, you know, maybe some lesser known UFO sightings and incidents. You know, you had to make a decision at some point to decide to write about it, too. And that's never comes easy. But, you know, you've written a lot. So maybe it did come a little bit easier for you.
Well, you know, for the most part, I've written fiction books. I write military fiction. I write a series called Wingman, which is going into the 19th book is coming out very soon. So it's been around for a while. And I've been lucky to be able to do that. But, you know, just one day I was having lunch with my editor a few years ago, and I happened to mention to him what I just said. I said, you know, that I was always had an interest in UFOs, had an interest in the military, and it just seemed to me that UFOs showed up, people reported seeing more UFOs during wartime than in peacetime. And, you know, we just talked about that, and he said, well, you know, why don't you write a book about that? That'd be a nonfiction book. So I said, okay, and that was a book called UFOs in Wartime, where I think we make a pretty good case just by the sheer number of stories that, you know, UFOs are spotted while, you know, humanity is at war, let's say, through the ages, not just modern times, through the ages. You know, they seem to show up when we are in conflict with ourselves. So, you know, that was interesting, and then that kind of led to another book called Beyond Area 51, and then that led to this new book, Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe.
We've talked on this program before about the connection between UFO sightings and wartime. It's an interesting connection. One of the questions I have as it relates to that is, does some of the fact that we're having more reports of unidentified flying objects come from the fact that during a wartime situation, we're actually just paying attention to the skies a little bit more?
Yeah, that was my first thought, you know, and that could very well be it. It's just that, you know, especially, let's say, in the 20th century, when all of a sudden you added the element of flight, you know, to war. You know, more people were flying around up there, more people were looking up at the people flying around up there, and maybe that just gave people more opportunities to spot these things. But before, like, even we go back in that particular book, you know, we go back to the days of like Alexander the Great, you know, who had scribes with him going on his campaigns who, you know, reported that they would see flying shields, you know, shooting flaming arrows at, you know, at Alexander's cavalry and things like that. There's many accounts in the Bible. There's, you know, there was a in Nuremberg, Germany in the 1400s, there was what people described as a just an aerial battle between two kinds of UFOs. And back then they actually had newspapers, and they have the newspaper accounts of it. They have wood carvings of what could only be considered like a battle between two UFO, two different kinds of UFOs. The stuff has been going all the time, and for whatever reason, you know, the whole idea of us being at war seems to attract more of these things than in peacetime. It's almost like they're here just to kind of watch us, you know, watch what we're doing to each other.
Now, as you looked into this, and this was your first book about UFOs, right? UFOs in wartime? This
yes.
was, yeah, the first one. As you looked into this, did you start to come to the conclusion that these UFOs, which again, we have to remind folks, UFO simply means unidentified. We're not exactly sure what it is. Mm-hmm. But did you come to any conclusions as to what they were? Can you definitively say that some of these sightings were actually extraterrestrial craft?
No. You know, and I don't think, to tell you the truth, I don't think anyone can really make that claim and be 100% sure of what they were saying. You know, the research I've done actually took me in the opposite direction, and that is that, you know, let's just take the U.S. military, you know, for instance. It's obvious they know more than we do, okay? They have more evidence that there are UFOs, that UFOs exist. We know they do. We know they have video and a film and, you know, who knows what else. But I don't believe that they know where they're from. I think they're just as much in the dark about it as we are. Because I think, you know, for several reasons. You know, I think, you know, during the current situation right now and the current resident in the White House, I think that if there was some kind of briefing that he would have gotten, you know, that tell us that UFOs are real, I think we would have heard about it by now. I don't think he's someone who would keep that to himself. Also, I don't see anything like, you know, people say there's, you know, re-engineered UFOs and all these different things have, you know, come from, you know, crashed spaceships and stuff, but I don't really see it, you know. I don't see all this, you know, wonderful technology that should have, you know, trickled down to us by now if we were re-engineering UFOs. So, again, I don't want to be the cold bucket of water here, but, you know, that's just how I believe.
Well, I think you're being very pragmatic about this, and I think a lot of people take that position as well. I mean, we've had folks on this show that say there's evidence of reverse-engineered technology that has come from UFOs, and I'm still having a little bit trouble understanding what that is, but some will claim that it's there. You said that we have to assume the military knows more than we do, and I think we do have to make that assumption, but then the second part of that phrase was, yet you don't think they know what mm-hmm. these things are. So basically, if they don't, nobody's going to at this point.
Right. Yeah, I don't think so. I think that, you know, the position that they've taken, and they took it a long time ago, back in the 50s, and they've, you know, stuck to it, is that, you know, we don't view UFOs as being a security threat to the United States. Therefore, we don't investigate them. Now, we know that they did, in fact, investigate them through the 50s and the 60s with a thing called Project Blue Book. And then they said, and that was no great, you know, think tank, right? I think it was like two or three people answering letters. It wasn't an investigative body. And then they said that the Air Force went out of the business of looking into UFOs in 1967. But we have found out since, especially with the release of what they call the Tic Tac video from last year, where U.S. Navy pilots took video of, you know, flying along something that looks like a UFO that's shaped like a Tic Tac. I mean, you know, they have these things. We know they have them. Gordon Cooper, the astronaut, is someone who actually, you know, had film footage of a UFO landing at Edwards Air Force Base back in the 50s, sent it on to Pentagon, never saw it again. He went on to be one of the Mercury astronauts. So we know that they have the evidence, but as we were just saying, I don't see any evidence at all that they know where they come from, because I don't think we'd be living in this kind of a world if they knew and if they had some kind of way to, you know, cash in on their technology.
And then we've got one more, I think, variable that has entered the equation in the last 10 years or so with real fervor, and that's drone technology. That's changed everything as well and put a lot more things in the sky that
right.
are harder to identify.
that's the thing too, is that it, you know, we talk to people all the time who are, you know, drone experts, and they say what's going to happen and what is happening, and actually what's been happening for quite a while. You know, the U.S. Military has been flying drones since the 1950s, and a lot of drones have flown over Vietnam. People don't, you know, really, you know, realize that. But people, you know, what people have been seeing all these years, what some people have been seeing all these years are drones, and now they're just more, you know, there's more of them, and they're in civilian hands and so on. But back when they were strictly a military thing, that definitely, you know, accounts for a number of UFO sightings. And now, because skies are going to be, you know, at some point soon, crowded with these things, people are going to be seeing everything, and it really is going to obscure, you know, real UFO sightings and kind of, you know, put us, you know, two or three steps back from, you know, really finding out what they are, because, as I say, the sky is going to be just full of stuff.
Tonight we're talking with Mac Maloney. He is a UFO author. His most recent book is called Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe. He's got other books related to the UFO phenomenon, including UFOs in Wartime and Beyond Area 51. Mac, tell us about the new book, Haunted Universe. What made you decide to write it?
Well, you know, it turns out that over the past 4 or 5 years, looking into, you know, researching the books for the first two books that you mentioned, and also for a couple of years, I worked for Turner Broadcasting on their website called Conspiratorium, where we would come up with like 10 really kind of crazy stories every month and do kind of visuals on them on the website. And I was helping in the research of that. So all this stuff kind of piled up in my office, all these just really weird, strange stories that I would, you know, put aside and collect. And I've always been interested in things like that anyway. I mean, growing up, I used to read Ripley's Believe It or Not books, you know, from cover to cover, and I really liked that, and that's what this book kind of turned out to be. I just took all that kind of research left over and compiled it into just chapters of just, like, very strange things, you know, chapters on ghost planes, ghost ships, and military haunted battlefields, and, you know, the world's worst spies and stuff like that. Just all this crazy stuff I had hanging around, I put it together.
So this book extends beyond just the UFO phenomena. You look at many, many different things, and I would say it's probably just a compendium of the strange and the weird.
Right. That's exactly what it is, you know, because, as I said, I grew up, you know, reading books like that. I always kind of like reading, you know, just strange things that go on around us, and I think that and there's more than 250 stories in it, and I think the idea is, you know, when you make it to the end, that, you know, there's no other conclusion than that we live in a very strange kind of reality. You know, strange stuff happens all the time. People see strange stuff and happening all the time. They see strange things, and when you just read about them, you know, from beginning to end, you say, "Wow, all this crazy stuff is going on," and we almost take it for granted in a way, you know, but we do live in a strange reality.
As you were collecting these stories, did you solicit them from people, or did you research them and find them in media accounts, all of the above? Where did the stories come from?
Yeah, really all of the above, to tell you the truth. And it goes back, you know, for 4 or 5 years when I really did the research for UFOs and wartime, and there was just some things that were, you know, just didn't quite fit into that book, and also Beyond Area 51. So, yeah, you know, that was in one pile in my office. And then all the stuff, different research that I helped with, Conspiratorium website, just things that I kind of knew. You know, I would put strange newspaper stories away if they were really odd. And then, you know, I have lots of books here that I would go through. So, yeah, just as I said, you know, all of the above, really, we were able to take that and put the book together.
Now, in talking about the UFO books, you had mentioned that you haven't had any personal UFO experiences that you can really share with us. Obviously, you said in this new book you've written about ghosts and other odd things. Any of those? Have you had any of those experiences yourself? Any haunting experiences?
Yeah, no. You know, I wish it was more exciting, but no. Nothing strange. Nothing really, really strange has ever happened to me. But I know people, good friends of mine, people, you know, family members, you know, who have seen things, who have seen UFOs, who have just, you know, seen strange things. I'm coming to the belief that, you know, some people destined to see UFOs and some people aren't, you know, and maybe it's because I'm looking too hard. For a lot of people, they have UFO experiences. It just comes out of the blue. You know, they were not expecting it, where I'm always kind of looking for stuff. I don't think it's ever going to happen to me.
Yeah. We have had people on the show that have had not just a UFO experience, but they've kind of run the gamut of paranormal encounters. Mm-hmm. They've encountered Bigfoot. They've had a UFO experience. They've had hauntings. They're psychic. You know, they've kind of got the whole thing. And I've come to the conclusion that there are people in this world that just have this paranormal magnetism. The paranormal events seem to be attracted to them, and therefore they get all these crazy experiences.
It's true, you know, and that's a good term for it. You know, there are definitely, I've had many discussions on just this point, there are definitely people out there that attract these things, or are attracted to them, or are able, for some reason, able to see things that, you know, the rest of us can't. You know, and who knows why, but, you know, I've talked to them, they look at it as something kind of cool. I envy them in a big way, to tell you the truth.
And the title Haunted Universe, they're really stories about haunted, or not haunted per se, but strange things and happenings around the globe. It encompasses the whole world, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yes, for sure. You know, and yeah, the whole idea was funny because, you know, I had to come up with the title for the book, and I had watched a documentary on how, you know, astrophysicists think now that we are just in one universe, one of many, many, an unlimited number of universes, you know, and they're all like kind of like bubbles in a handful of suds, and they rub up against each other, and maybe that's why paranormal things happen. And universe, and something is dripping over to the universe, and they consider that paranormal, but maybe not. Maybe the idea I got was, well, how about if in all these other universes everything goes okay, there's no ghosts, there's no UFOs, nothing ever goes wrong, and we're the ones stuck in the haunted universe. And if you read the book from beginning to end, you have to come to the conclusion that, you know, as I said before, strange things happen in this reality all the time. You know, people see weird stuff all the time, and we look at it as kind of usual, but wouldn't it be funny if we're the only ones that, you know, actually in a universe that has something called the paranormal?
It is interesting, and that discussion, as we get into quantum physics and quantum theory, and we talk about alternative dimensions and these dimensions rubbing up against each other, and sometimes there are slips between them that are responsible for some of these phenomena that we bring up on programs like this. It's an interesting concept, and it certainly would offer some explanation for things that up until this point have been unexplained. Other than kind of musing on that idea, have you seen anything in what you've written about and researched that might add a little more support to that theory?
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, I'm going to say no, you know, because I'm really just, I'm a writer, I'm not, you know, a researcher. I really can't call myself a researcher, but the whole, you know, this one thing that flashes back to me that makes me think that, hey, maybe, you know, a lot of these things might be connected is someone took a picture in California just only about 2 years ago. They went out to take a picture of a haunted house. They left their camera up, and they took the picture, and sure enough, you can see a ghost in the window. It's a barn, actually. But right above it, you can also see a UFO. And, you know, I think, wow, what are the chances that, you know, you're going to get a picture of a UFO and a ghost at the same time? And almost a lot of people have said that, you know, there's a UFO connection to Bigfoot. There's, you know, some kind of a, you know, alien connection to the Loch Ness Monster. It'd be funny if they're all part of the same thing. But I don't know if that answers your question.
I don't know that there really is an answer to that question, because we've got a lot more to uncover and discover before we're going to have any of those answers. Tonight we're talking with Mac Maloney. He is a UFO author. His new book is called Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe. Check out all of his work at macmaloney.com. Mac, we're talking about the book Haunted Universe. You have a lot of really interesting things in this book. I have a few things on a tick list, but certainly, you know, throw in anything that, that stands out to you. But one of the things I know you talk about in the book is the best place in the United States to see a UFO. Where would that be?
Right. Yeah. There's actually a number of places. There's a place called Elk River, Minnesota, that for some reason a lot of people see UFOs. There are UFOs of different kind of shapes and so on. A lot of people see UFOs in the St. Louis Valley in Colorado, but just really all over. Actually, like I believe like states like Michigan are number 3 or 4 on the top 10 list where you can see UFOs. A lot of times they are near military bases, but if you really want to see a UFO, California, you should go to California because people see them more often there than any other state in the country, and most of the UFO sightings are like out over the Pacific, close to the shore.
So most of them are actually over the water?
Right, yeah. A lot of people see, especially down in Southern California, around Santa Catalina, Catalina Islands, I should say. People have been reporting seeing UFOs down there for years, going in and out of the water. You know, that's a whole kind of other study of UFOs that they might actually be, you know, come out of the water or be in, you know, under the ocean or whatever. A lot of people do see that happening. So,
in fact, there seems to be a whole new discipline in this study. People using the term USO, I believe, which is unidentified submersible object,
right.
Because they are seeing a lot of these things going into the water and remaining submerged.
Right. Yeah, and people have seen, and we had that in these series in UFOs in wartime, and also beyond Area 51, people have seen things, and just happens to be around the Bermuda Triangle, of just something under the water moving faster than anything under the water should be moving. If I can, you know, put it that way, the U.S. Navy's Area 51 actually is in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. It's a place called Autech. It's on one of the Bahamian Islands, and one of the Bahamas, and they do a lot of research down there on our nuclear subs. But they have a lot of sensor equipment there, radar and sonar and so on and so forth. The people who have been down there, and once again for years, have seen lots of UFO activity over this place or near this place, and UFOs going in and out of the water. You know, so who knows what's going on, but a lot of it is going on in that particular part of the world for sure.
Now, you've already written a book called UFOs in Wartime, which you documented the relationship between military conflict and the increase in appearances of these unidentified flying objects. And then you just said that if you're looking for places to see UFOs, they often happen around military installations. Again, that's that connection. What do you think, whatever it is that's up in the sky, is doing near our military installations?
What people are seeing near military installations are, you know, what we would call just secret aircraft, top secret aircraft. They fly them all the time out of Area 51 in Nevada and also other places in the Nevada desert. So, you know, there's no doubt that what a lot of people are seeing are those things. But in the second book that I did, Beyond Area 51, which is just basically, you know, listing of secret bases around the world similar to Area 51, and they're, you know, in China, Russia, Great Britain, so on and so forth, all of them have some kind of UFO history attached to them, and except one, as it turns out. There's a very, very, very secret base in Nevada, about 100 miles north of Area 51, called Tonopah Test Range, and this is probably our most secret aircraft base. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's near Tonopah, Nevada, which is a very small town in between Reno and Vegas. But the stealth fighter flew out there for 10 years without anyone knowing about it, you know. So, you know, whatever they might have happening out there, you know, you would think is really very, very top-secret weapons. But oddly enough, the place has, like, zero UFO history. People just do not see UFOs around this very secret place, but they see them around other different secret places. So that almost just the fact that people don't see UFOs there, you know, almost makes you wonder, well, what's going on there and not at these other places. But, yeah, that said, every other secret base we looked into had some kind of UFO history to it, whether what came first, UFOs or the base, you know, it's hard to tell. But, Yeah, they all have this kind of attachment to them, for sure.
We've just got a couple of minutes before our top of the hour break, so I want to change the subject just a little bit. We'll get back into some of the stories that you've included in Haunted Universe on the other side of the break. But you've written these three nonfiction books, UFOs in Wartime, Beyond Area 51, and Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe, but you have a whole slew of fiction work to your credit.
Right, I started just, way back when, writing a series, as I said before, called Wingman, and that's like kind of a post-World War III series. He's a Zen fighter pilot. He's someone who, you know, becomes one with the plane, and he's the best fighter pilot who's ever lived, and where he is stuck in this kind of post-World War III world, and the United States has been kind of broken up into all these small little countries by the Russians. He's continuously trying to put America back together again, and Book 18 came out last year, which was, really good. It was popular, let's say. And once again, he has thrown the Russians out of the United States, and now he's trying to put the United States back together again. That's really been my meat and potatoes over the years. And then I've done other books on chopper ops and pirate hunters. Did a series on the pirates, U.S. Navy hunting the modern-day pirates, and I think I've written more than 40 books in all, but they're all been fiction except for these three books we've been talking about tonight.
And I know you probably can't compare the two processes, but what do you get more personal satisfaction out of, the fiction or researching and writing nonfiction?
Well, it's a lot easier to write fiction, I can tell you that.
Wow.
Because you just make it up,
Yeah, but you got to be
all the other stuff you have to research.
But you
and
have
edit
to,
and stuff.
But
and,
Mac,
and
you have does. You actually have to be good at making it up, or no one will read it.
Well, that comes, with practice. But when you have to, as I say, kind of vet stuff and have backup to stories that you put in there, and deciding which stories to put in, it's time consuming. It just is, but it's also a lot of fun, too, when you're finally at the end of it.
Right. We're talking with Mac Maloney about his new book, Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe. We're going to continue that conversation on the other side of the break. We're also going to take your phone calls at 844-687-7669. You can chat and chime in about any of the topics that we're talking about tonight. Visit Mac's website at macmaloney.com, and you'll see not only the book that we're talking about, but all of Mac's work there, plus more information about the work he's doing. And next week's a bit of an interesting week. Thursday night, The Shark, Bruce Markison, will be in for Jason and I. I'm headed to Florida, actually, and I'll be gone the whole following week. So Bruce will be with you all of that following week. Wow, you guys are in for a real treat. He does a great job. The show's coming up for the rest of this week, however. Tomorrow night, Jason Brown will be with us to talk about the Men in Black. He's not just going to talk about them. He actually was one. He's going to talk about how they're trained. He's going to talk about time travel. It's all part of the discussion about the Men in Black in tomorrow night's program with Jason Brown. And then Thursday, Todd Standing is going to be with us. This is going to be a great show. It's one we've wanted to have for quite some time. Todd made a documentary about Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and it's been a bit controversial. It's very, very fascinating, and if you haven't seen it yet, I recommend you look for it on either Netflix. I saw it on Netflix, so it might still be there. But either way, look around for it. And Todd will be on Thursday night's program to talk about that and his work in investigating. I believe he, if I remember correctly, Todd was suing Canada or the state of California. I should know this before I start talking about it, but there was a lawsuit involved with some government agency. I don't know if it was the state of California or if it was Canada, whereby he was suing them to recognize Sasquatch as an official species, and I think one that needed to be protected as well. So we've got a lot to talk about with Todd Standing on Thursday night's program. Very, very excited about that. So make sure you tune in. By the way, our phone lines are open at 844-687-7669. If you want to join our discussion tonight with Mac Maloney, we're talking about his book, Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe. Plus, we're talking about some of his other work, including UFOs in Wartime and Beyond Area 51. Fantastic discussion with Mac, and we'll bring Mac back into the show. Mac, you mentioned that UFOs in Wartime was your first book. When did you write that one?
That was in that came out in 2011, I believe.
And then Beyond Area 51 came out after that.
That's right. Yeah.
A couple years or.
It came out 2 years because usually when you have a book contract like that, they want a second book from you. So Beyond Area 51 was like the follow up to UFOs in Wartime, and then I wrote a couple other fiction books, and then we came back to. I just came back to doing Haunted Universe and, as I said before, putting all these strange stories together.
So over the course of, about 7 years or so, you've written these three nonfiction books. Mm-hmm. You've done a lot of research, a lot of investigation into this stuff. And I want to pick up on the discussion about UFOs and wartime and Beyond Area 51 a little bit later in the show. But going back to Haunted Universe, which is a collection of just strange and unusual events, occurrences, phenomena, things throughout the globe. One of the things that you talk about is a conspiracy by aliens to prevent us from conquering space. What's that all about?
Well, this is something that's been floating around for quite a while, and it kind of began with the Challenger disaster, but as far as man's space flight is concerned, but there have been a number of things. Like, for instance, we just had another Explorer rover land on Mars yesterday. But more than 50% of satellites and probes and so on that have been sent to Mars have failed. Some of them for reasons that almost are hard to understand. There was one called the Polar Lander where it cost $3 billion, and it was launched, and by the time it was halfway to Mars, they realized that half of it was actually, done in standard measurements, and half of it was done in millimeters and meters, and they didn't compute when it came time for the, for this lander to do its thing on Mars. I mean, that's almost unbelievable.
Wow.
That kind of a mistake wouldn't be picked up until the thing was halfway to Mars, but there's all kinds of things that, failed launches and, weird things happening up there that has led some people to say, and we just, kind of detail what some of the stories are, that, maybe the aliens are trying to tell us something.
Let's jump to our phone lines and bring in a listener call. This is Philip in South Carolina. Hey, Philip, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. Look, 2 years ago, I was sitting out in a lounge chair in the yard, and I heard there was like a 747 jetliner that was making a lot of noise, and I looked up. And lo and behold, behind him and probably about 1,000 feet above him, there was a UFO man that was as large as an aircraft carrier. He was huge. And he stayed behind that jet for probably about 3 minutes, and he veered off to the right and took off and disappeared. But this thing was, huge. It looked like an aircraft carrier up in the sky, man.
Right. Wow. There are lots of stories, similar to that, especially the Hudson Valley sightings of the late 70s and 80s, where, literally thousands of people saw these gigantic UFOs flying over. Some of them, that's the description they gave them. They were big as an aircraft carrier. And then up in Phoenix as well, during the Phoenix lights, incidents, people saw these enormous things going overhead. And that's why it's interesting because, one thing out of the research that I keeps hitting me is that people think that UFOs are trying to hide from us, but they're not. They're seen all the time. People see them all the time. And they're not just flying saucers. There's things that people see that are, bigger than aircraft carriers. And so many people see them, they all can't be, hoaxes or making them up or whatever. Something's up there. We just don't know what it is.
Yeah, and part of thank you for sharing that with us, Philip. We appreciate the story. Part of the problem with this is that these craft, as Philip just described, big as an aircraft carrier. We look at something like that in the sky, and we automatically assume it's not from Earth because we haven't seen anything like that before. We haven't seen anything that big flying, and we haven't seen anything maybe that slow or, you know, making right-hand turns in the sky. Right. It's all characteristics that we're just not used to, so we automatically assume it's you know, extraterrestrial.
Sure. You know, I mean, there are reports of that the military flies a certain kind of blimp. And what it is if you can imagine it, that the bottom of the blimp is full of electrodes, which perfectly mimic what is going on top of the blimp, which is the night sky. So they're able to replicate the night sky on the bottom of this blimp. So when one of them flies over you, you can't tell it because when you look up, it just looks like the night sky, but it's actually almost like a little bit of a movie playing, a special effect playing as it's going over your head. Now, as crazy as that sounds, people, you know, swear that the military has these things, so they're basically invisible. But if something goes wrong or they're taking off a landing or people see these things, they're supposed to be enormous, I can see people saying, wow, that's the size of an aircraft carrier up there. But, you know, the military does fly some very, very unusual things. But then on the other hand, people see these enormous UFOs doing things that nothing on this earth could do. You know, as you say, taking direct turns and flying in a way that, you know, is kind of against the laws of aerodynamics.
We have a lot of people who have seen things as Philip described, and we have a lot of people who have seen other phenomena in the sky that they can't explain. And as we said in the beginning of this program, just in case you're tuning in to us late, The word unidentified is key here. We don't know what they are, do we, Mac? We just simply don't know the answer to a lot of this stuff.
Right. I don't think so. You know, I hope we do. I hope we find out, you know, let's say in all our lifetimes, you know, it seems like we're getting closer. But as you said before, you know, every time people see something here, that doesn't mean it's little green men from Mars. Another thing I should say about UFOs in wartime was the thing that we kept coming back to is that, you know, people would see, especially during World War II, the Foo Fighters and so on, people would see these UFOs, but they weren't doing anything but just observing what was going on. As I said before, watching us as we kind of, you know, at battle, at odds with each other. And it really gives you this impression that they're watching us, and I'm not the first one to say this, but maybe they're time tourists. Maybe in our far future, we've discovered time travel and people coming back to see history being made. And you know, maybe it's something along those lines. It's as good a shot as, you know, as I said, Little Green Men from Mars, you know.
So, again, we're talking about Mac's book, Haunted Universe, Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe. We've also been touching on a couple of the other books he's written, including UFOs in Wartime and Beyond Area 51. Mac, back to the Haunted Universe book and some of the interesting things you talk about there. You said there's like 250 or so stories in it, and one of the things that you touch on is King Kong. Was King Kong real?
Well, there was a... creature, you know, in millions of years ago, that was almost quite the size of King Kong. It was just like literally an enormous ape. And, you know, whether that actually, you know, is known by the people who wrote the movie King Kong or whatever, King Kong was like the first monster movie, really, and he was the first monster.
Right.
So maybe somewhere, you know, while they were researching it, they came upon this this creature. But, yeah, it was a long, long time ago, there was something that was almost the size of King Kong, roaming the earth.
All right, we're going to go to a break right now. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Mac Maloney about his book, Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe. Again, I'll send you to his website. It's just macmaloney.com, and Mac has a K in it, by the way. Check it out. You'll see the Haunted Universe book plus all of his other work on the website. It's Beyond Reality Radio. I'm J.V. Johnson. We'll be right back. Looking for our guest's book? Go to amazon.com/shop/JVJTaps. Welcome back to Beyond Reality Radio. I'm J.V. Johnson. Our guest tonight, Mac Maloney. We're in the middle of talking about his book, Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe. You can talk about the Earth, you can talk about the universe, Mac, but I've got to tell you, your accent gives away where you're from. You grew up in Boston?
Oh, you can tell, yes. Yep, yes, I did.
Do you still live in the Boston area?
Yes, yep, we do. We live a little bit north of Boston, right on the beach, as it turns out.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it is nice.
So, are you already sick of winter, even though we haven't gotten out of autumn yet, like we are in upstate New York?
Well, that's Yeah, that's what's going on here. Someone said the other day that of 28 days in November here, it's rained like 26 of them or something.
Yeah, October was the same way. We just had constant rain for October. I don't remember a wetter, colder autumn, if you,
right.
you can even say it's autumn, although the calendar says it is, before. So it's been a very, very unusual year. Let's talk about places that most people don't even know exist that you talk about in the book. What are we talking about here?
Well, there's one place that one of my favorites is. There was actually a village in England that didn't exist, literally didn't exist. It was on Google Maps for a while. It was on just different other kinds of maps. It had its own kind of postal code. It had its own newspaper, and so on. And then suddenly, people found out that if you went to its coordinates, that it was just like one big empty field. This is right in the middle of England. So, and then all of a sudden, it vanished from Google Maps and so on, and basically from the internet. So exactly what that was about, no one really knows. It seems like some kind of a an intelligence plot, or maybe someone had to create a completely fictional village. I don't know, but that actually happened. But one thing that that one of my favorite stories in the book is this place called the M Triangle in Russia, near the Ural Mountains in Russia, and it's just one of these places. It's just as vast. I think it's 40 square miles of a really kind of rugged terrain. It's out in the middle of nowhere. And just strange things happen there, and the Soviet government wouldn't let people in there, wouldn't let journalists or scientists in there, but when things kind of thawed a little bit, the Russian government did let people in there, and just strange things happen there. People see ghosts all the time, they see UFOs all the time, the animals come right up and eat out of your hand, they have no fear of people, and just all kinds of odd stuff happens there, and people kind of have they don't go out, they don't come out the same way they went in. They feel like they have a different perspective on life. So a very strange place, the M Triangle, right at the Ural Mountains in Russia.
It is interesting. Let's see if we can squeeze another phone call in here before our next break. This is Bob from New York. Hey, Bob, welcome to the show.
Good evening. Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Hi. Yes, I wanted to make a comment about something your guest said about the first monster movie.
King Kong.
I believe he said.
King Kong.
Yeah, well, King Kong was not the first monster movie.
Yeah, what was it?
Frankenstein predated King Kong by 2 years.
I'll let you speak for yourself, Mac, but I think as far as like creature, like, Dracula and Frankenstein were both preceded King Kong, but they were human form as opposed to maybe some big animal type creature monster.
Right. What you mean. Okay.
I think that may have been the point, but thank you for pointing that out, Bob. We appreciate the phone call.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And I happen to love all of those. I think that's the point you were trying to make, right? It was the first like monster in the sense of a non-humanoid type creature.
Right. Yeah. Creature, big creature. And it's still a great movie. You go back and watch it and you realize
it is great.
That was all stop action motion. It was just amazing.
Yeah. It's a fantastic movie. I watch it whenever it happens to come on, like Turner Classic Movies, and my kids roll their eyes because they can't stand anything in black and white, which I don't get because I think some of the best movies are in black and white.
Yeah, I agree.
But Mac, I want to continue talking about the things included in your book, Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe, because it really is just an amazing and fascinating collection of strange tales, experiences, and stories. And I know there's some stories about ghost planes and ghost ships. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are really a lot of ghost ship stories that go back, go way, way back. And some of them are as simple as there was a ship that got caught in the ice up off of Alaska in the 1920s, and it was kind of a new ship, and it was abandoned by its crew. They got off safely by walking over the ice, but then the ice broke up, and this thing, floated around out in the Pacific for almost 40 years, and people would see it, and no one really knew what to do with it, and finally, I think it was sunk by the U.S. Coast Guard, but, that's like one kind of ghost ship, and then there's another where people see back in the 1840s, I think it was, a riverboat caught on fire on a tributary off the Mississippi, and there was a tragic loss of life. A lot of people died in it. And people to this day swear they still see this thing coming around the bend, hearing the music and so on. And so for some reason, and then there's other ghost ship stories we have in there where, you know, fishing ships were just went out, never heard from again, yet, you know, people were still making, people would go on to their ships. There'd be no one on the ship. Even sometimes food still on the plate on the table, no crew, yet people were making phone calls from their cell phones, from the crew's cell phones, up to weeks later. So just kind of creepy things like that. The best ghost plane story is back in the 80s, over John Wayne Airport in Los Angeles, this strange airplane showed up and started doing kind of acrobatic acts over the airport, and because it was Sunday, it actually broke the noise restrictions, and people saw its tail number, and that generated an automatic computer warning to the people who owned the plane, stop making noise with the plane. It turned out it belonged to Deke Slayton, one of the astronauts, and he had died 4 hours before. Ooh. And his plane was in a hangar in Las Vegas, and they got the guy who owned it said this plane has not left this hangar since I bought it from Deke years ago, but yet so many people saw this particular plane over John Wayne Airport that they were able to write down the numbers to it, and that his widow actually got a noise complaint. So no one could ever explain it, but that's my favorite ghost plane story.
Wow, that's fascinating. And I want to go back to the ghost ship stories that you touched on. The idea of a ship leaving port with a full crew, spending some time at sea, and then when it's discovered, the crew is completely gone without a trace, yet things like personal effects or, like you said, food still on the ship, those might be the creepiest stories of all when it comes to some of this stuff. At least for me, those things really creep me out.
Right, yeah, same here. You know, the Mary Celeste is a very famous story. That's actually what happened. There was a schooner back in the 1800s where they were moving cargo from the United States to Portugal, and kind of a well-to-do family. There was, I think, about 10 people on board with crew and so on. And then, you know, they lost touch with them, and people saw the Mary Celeste just floating aimlessly out near the Azores, went on board, and everything was, you know, ship-shaped, literally. You know, everything worked. There was no danger of fire or anything, food on the plates, but no people, and they never found the people. And, you know, and there are a number of stories like that where they've just found literally ghost ships where everything looks good except there's no crew on board anymore.
I want to turn the topic, because we're going to run out of time here, to your book, Beyond Area 51. Tell us about that book.
Well, it was kind of this idea that Area 51 is, let's face it, it's the most well-known top secret base in the world, right? Everyone knows about it. There's been movies, books, TV shows, the comic books, you know, done about it. So we wanted to do a book that was, you know, like Area 51, you know, secret bases like Area 51 around the world that people might not have heard of as much as Area 51. So that's what it is. You know, we talk about some here in the United States, Tonopah, you know, which I talked about earlier, and then places over in England, you know, that England actually has its own kind of small Area 51. We have a hunt for that, like, and it turns out it might be in a place called Redlow Manor. Which they used to build Spitfires in World War II down in the subterranean factory there, kind of a cool place. In Russia, a place called Kapustinya, which is like a combination of Area 51 and Cape Canaveral. Lots of UFO activity around there over the years. So that's what it's like. It's just secret bases you might not have heard of.
And when you say secret bases, we're not talking just about places that may have had some kind of UFO or alien connection. This is just things that governments may be hiding from us, even though we might have a sense they're there?
Well, you know, that's one thing. Like for Kapustinya, this place in Russia, for instance, you know, there were just documented, you know, instances where Russian jet fighters, you know, were in dogfights with quote-unquote UFOs, and you know, if you read the reports, you they're using UFO, it might be, who knows, it might be, you know, secret American airplanes that were doing this or whatever. It was just unknown aircraft, but just long history of these things happening over this place, Kapustinya, and also places in China and India, and as I said before, other than Tonopah, Nevada, all of them have some kind of UFO connection. You know, some of them pretty strong too. And you have to wonder why. You know why.
When it comes to Area 51, that you know, you said it best. It's the best known secret base on the planet, I'm sure. What do you think is going on there? I mean, there's two sides to this story, or this argument as well.
Well, you know, I've talked to people who have been there, and you know, and who have flown in and out of there, and really, what's going on there is they're testing our top secret aircraft. You know, things along the line of the B-2 bomber and so on. You know, for every 9 or 10 prototypes that they actually build out there and test, only one of them actually, you know, comes to public, comes to the light of day. As I said, the B-2 or things like that. But that's what's going on out there. They just are testing out all kinds of different exotic kinds of aircraft, very fast aircraft. Now, you know, it looks like they have some kind of hypersonic airplane out there, which can go above 5,000 or 6,000 miles an hour. Things along those lines. That's what happens in Area 51. I don't believe they have crashed UFOs there or any place else, but yeah, basically it's just a very top-secret place to fly aircraft the hours and hours that are needed to, you know, to make sure it works right.
And what do you get about in terms of the secret airline that is supposed to be shuttling people from Las Vegas into Area 51? I think
right,
it's called Janus?
Janet Airlines, yeah, right.
Yeah.
It leaves from McCarran Airport every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And what it is a lot of people who work at Area 51, you know, live in the Vegas area. So it's run by the CIA, and it drops them off at Area 51 on Mondays, brings it back on Fridays, and then it shuttles back and forth during the week. But it also has several other drops in the Nevada desert. That is, you know, just shuttling people back and forth. They're pretty open about it. If you go to McLaren Airport, you land at Vegas, just kind of look off to the north, and you'll see these small jets, and they have bright red tails, and that's the CIA shuttle service out to Area 51 and other places.
Interesting. Mac, what's next on your docket? I'm sure, I mean, given the number of books you've already written, I'm sure you're never sitting still. You're probably working on a few as we speak.
Right now we're working on Wingman 19, the series that I mentioned before, and then that hopefully will come out sometime in May of 2019, and then I go right to work on Wingman 20, which hopefully will come out in 2020 in time for the new Top Gun movie, I guess, is coming out that summer too, so hopefully we can coordinate that, and that's what will be keeping me busy for the next few months anyway.
I want to ask this, and we might have time for a couple more questions after this, but when you look at Haunted Universe, what is maybe your favorite entry in the book, if we haven't covered it already?
Wow. You know, it's funny because you kind of get to like all of them in a way. You know, I'll tell you the one to me that just is the most chilling is in, I think we call it the Haunted Battlefield. In World War One, you know, it was just this awful war going back and forth, lots of people getting killed for no reason, trench warfare and mud. And there was a battle near a small village in Belgium that went on for 3 months. And there was so much artillery bombardment that they actually counted on the aerial photographs more than 1 million craters within a mile. And that's, you know, that's a lot of artillery craters. Well, anyway, it was a very rainy summer. It turned up the earth into mud, and the mud was in some cases 20 feet deep, and people would just disappear into it. Soldiers would just disappear into the mud, never to be seen again. Thousands and thousands of them died this way. And when the battle was over, half a million people had been killed, and 100,000 of them were never identified and, you know, never found. So to me, that's the one that really kind of gives me the creeps for some reason.
Was that Verdun by any chance?
No, it was a place, you know, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name of the village, but it was right along that front, you know, right along that front.
And the reason I asked about Verdun is I've actually visited the Verdun battlefield, and it still looks like the surface of the moon with all the craters. It is unbelievable that the earth still looks like that. Now, it is a national, a French national park, if you will, or protected area, so it's never going to change. It's going to stay like that. But I know exactly what you're talking about. Those artillery bombardments during World War One were incessant. They would fire a million shells over the course of several months, and
it was all just this awful. You know, on one hand, it's trench warfare where everyone just kind of stopped in place and then shot at each other for about 4 years. But it was also the advent of a lot of really bad news weapons, like, you know, continuously firing machine guns and poison gas and all kinds of huge artillery. And just so many people just, like, you know, died for nothing when you really think about it, you know. So it's a really tragic war. It's kind of overshadowed by World War II. But anything in World War One, a lot of misery.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There were a couple things at play there. It was the first real war after the Industrial Revolution. So all these technologies were put into play, and the tactics and the military strategies hadn't caught up to that.
Right.
So therefore, they were just throwing, you know, tens of thousands of bodies into gunfire that were just being slaughtered. It was quite an incredible story.
And the first war with airplanes. Still,
yeah, and the first war with airplanes. That's right. Yeah. Now, is there any such thing as Foo Fighters, the equivalent in World War One?
Not really. You know, there's a couple stories in there that we had to put in there, you know, because they're just too good to leave out. You know, one of them where there's a report that the Red Baron actually, you know, had an encounter with a UFO. There's a lot of interesting things called the scare ships right before World War One. People in England saw these enormous Zeppelin-shaped things. They weren't German Zeppelins because German Zeppelins weren't that advanced in 1909, but people saw them going like 200, 300 miles an hour, these enormous airships called the scare ships, and a lot of interesting stuff happening right around that time and right after World War One too.
Very fascinating stuff. So you said you're working on Wingman 19, and any other nonfiction stuff showing up on your radar, things that you want to write about?
Probably not, because as I said before, it just takes a lot of work to do it, you know. I don't want to say I'm lazy, but yeah.
Well, we appreciate you doing it for our benefit anyway. And like I said, if anybody wants to check out Mac's books, go to macmaloney.com. Mac, is there any other spot you'd send people to find out more information about the books or your work?
That's really the best place, you know, Mac Maloney's, macmaloney.com. And if I can give a quick plug to my radio show, Mac Maloney's Milter Exile Show. We're an internet radio show. We're all over the internet. So, you know, we know what you do, JV.
Yeah, what was the name of the show again?
Mac Maloney's Military X-Files. You know, we just talk about, you know, what the military and the paranormal, like kind of what we've been talking about tonight. What did they know? How did they get involved? And so on.
And where can people find that? Is that also linked off of your website?
Yeah, that's on the website. Yep.
Very nice. All right. Well, hey, Mac, thanks for being with me tonight. I appreciate your time and your insight. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you, JV. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, it's Beyond Reality Radio. I'm going to take a break. I'll come back, wrap things up in just a few moments. Don't go away.
Ever wish your wishes could come true? Well, now they can with the Wish It HD.
Grabco's Wish It HD.
I was in the ER and had my eye on this hot nurse in scrubs. Glad I had my Wish It HD along for the ride.
Hey there, big boy. Time for a sponge bath.
Now I'm getting scrubbed. Thank you, Wish It HD.
Grabco's Wish It HD.
The Wish It HD uses the latest in new technology to harness the power of the ethereal planes and grant your wish, not just in normal D, but in the latest high-quality HD.
I needed money and fast, so I just used my Wish It HD.
Here's your 337 and change. Thanks for reading Burger Town.
Thank you, Wish It HD.
Grabco's Wish It HD.
The Crapco Wish It HD, guaranteed to grant your wish in stunning HD.
Another amazing product by Crapco.
The Crapco Wish It HD is not guaranteed to grant any wish.
Why sound like this?
Hey, good looking.
When you can sound like this.
Hey, good looking.
Crapco presents. It's the Crapco Cardboard Tube. It makes any voice sound like a professional voice.
Kids, it's time to come in for dinner.
The Crapco Cardboard Tube. The Crapco Cardboard Tube uses the latest in cardboard technology combined with science to change any normal speaking voice into one that commands attention. It's great for corporate board meetings.
And our sales have been up for the whole last quarter.
As a pet calling device.
Here, Muffy Muffy.
Difficult breakups.
I've tried for months. I've cried for months. I just can't any longer.
For that important political stump speech.
I never had sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky, or any woman.
While handling kiln-fired ceramics.
Kiln-fired ceramics.
And don't
forget those intimate moments.
Hey, baby, what do you think of my cardboard tube?
The Krapko Cardboard Tube. As an optional add-on, order the hands-free neck mounting device for that extra convenience. The Krapko Cardboard Tube. The Krapko Cardboard Tube is made of premium quality recycled used cardboard and has been rigorously tested in the laboratory.
And this can all be yours at one low price of $29.99 or $49.99 with mounting device.
The Krapko Cardboard Tube does not require batteries and may or may not have been recycled after being used to hold bathroom tissue.
All right, well, that's going to do it for tonight. Thank you to Mac Maloney for being with us. Make sure you stop by his website, macmaloney.com. Don't forget, we've got some great shows coming up. Tomorrow night, it's all about the Men in Black with one of the Men in Black. Jason Brown will be with us. And then Thursday, Todd Standing will be with us to talk about his research into Bigfoot and Sasquatch. And that is going to be a great program as well. So join us both nights, tomorrow night and Thursday. And, of course, Friday will be a best of program, as it is every Friday here on Beyond Reality Radio. Have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Beyond Reality Radio is hosted by Jason Hawes and JV Johnson and produced by Alexandria Johnson and Slick Eddie Edwards for Entercom Radio. Beyond Reality Radio is distributed by Westwood One Radio Networks. Stop by our Facebook page and say hello. Follow the hosts on Facebook as well. For Jason Hawes, follow at jasonhawes.taps. For JV Johnson, follow at jvjparanormal. If you'd like to be a guest on Beyond Reality Radio or you have a suggestion for a guest, contact Slick Eddie Edwards at slickeddieedwards@gmail.com. Be sure to visit our chat room as well at beyondrealityradio.com. Thanks for listening.